Let's make it happen, Captain.
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
Welcome to Defrag. And you asked for it, you got it. We're at the desk. I feel like I'm at build.
Yeah, I feel strange because I'm not usually sitting. Like, my desk in my office is standing.
Yeah.
So I'm always standing.
Nice. We sat on one other show. Well, two other shows if you count build when we did that. We were sitting the day that I had my bad back issue. And
right.
So that was the other one. But yeah, it's kind of nice. I like this. We might use this one more often. So new studio, new desk. Love it.
New TVs.
Yeah, definitely new TVs. So in the mailbag, Gavin wrote us and he suggested as an Explorer replacement or augmentation, Directory Opus. He said it's a good file manager. It's easy for novices, but powerful if you read the manual, which the downside is it would require you reading the manual. But yeah, I've used this one. I kind of like it, but I always end up reverting back to Windows Explorer. So cool. If you you like it, let us know what you think of it.
Or PowerShell.
Yeah, or PowerShell. And then another post I just wanted to mention, Raymond Chen had an interesting post, how to get people who installed the leaked build to stop using that build. I'm going to spoil it for you. Change the wallpaper.
Yeah, it's actually rather Machiavellian. It's really about people manipulation and, you know, changing their expectations.
Yeah.
It's moving the cheese, right? If something looks different, it's in your face and looking different,
yeah,
people will make a really big deal about it, and then everybody will want it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's as the UI changes, it's like, oh, okay, that's the new hotness, so
yeah,
we gotta move away from the old one.
Yeah, and you would think, too, if you saw a different desktop background, you'd think, oh, it must be a pretty big update.
Right. And really, I mean, when you really think about it, it's just the wallpaper changing.
Yeah.
You can change the wallpaper and you're still left with
the buggy
build.
You could probably find the new wallpaper if you really wanted to.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, first question from Eduardo. This is kind of a weird one. He said, I have an annoying problem that appeared after installing Windows 10 Anniversary version. The clock font is now black against a black background.
So in the taskbar here, this has turned black.
Yeah,
everything
it makes
else
it hard to read, and when he mouses over it, he can see it. But
right, but everything else is normal. Like the flyout is normal, all other text is normal. I've been looking into this one, and I've not been able to reproduce it. I've not seen any other reports at all of this before.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, my
call out to the people.
Right. Exactly. I mean, generally speaking, this just doesn't change color. It's not an accent color. It's, you know, it doesn't take on any of the accent colors. One thing that did come to mind, however, literally just a second ago, is I wonder if you have had anything mess with this location. If you go under HQ Current User, Control Panel Colors,
mm-hmm.
Take a look. We can post. This is a default set of colors. But I wonder if you've got any sort of third-party software that has changed the color of, say, the button text.
Yeah.
Or probably not info text, not title text, possibly window text. So one of these text items that is marked in a particular way, these are just RGB values.
Interesting. So like maybe like some kind of star dock or, you know,
potentially
visual enhancement.
The other thing to try is create a new user, log in as that user, and see if it is affecting that one as well.
Yeah.
In which case, no, we don't have that in HKLM. But take a look at that and see if you can get a repro under a different user or if the color compared to another machine, see if anything is different there.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. All right. Question from Gavin. After performing an in-place upgrade to Anniversary update, I noticed that there's now a default.migrated folder under the users folder. Am I safe to delete this?
You should just basically leave it alone. It'll get cleaned up automatically on its own. The thing about temporary files and temporary locations that are left after the upgrade is that the system may still use them for different operations, backup location in order for you to be able to roll back. This is very typical of the Windows.old folder. So generally speaking, you just leave it alone, and we have system cleanup tasks that will go ahead and clean it up. Interesting side note about the Windows.old folder. We actually had a really good conversation with our friends at CCleaner today. There was an issue whereby there's a bug in their product that was changing the ACLs in Windows.old, which would then prevent Windows Store apps from working correctly after an upgrade. So anyways, it was really interesting bug, but we had a fantastic engagement with them. And they've committed to fixing it and continuing engagement with us so that we can keep them up to date and they can keep us up to date. To ensure that they don't touch locations of the OS that we are changing and improving upon. That they couldn't possibly know about. So this is just a shout out to our new friends at CCleaner for working well with us, and we really appreciate that.
Nice, awesome. From Pedro, I just upgraded to Anniversary Edition on my desktop. Now my wired Ethernet does not connect. The adapter shows fine in Device Manager and in Network and Sharing Center, but ipconfig/all does not list it at all. Wi-Fi is connected fine.
So a couple of things to try, the network troubleshooter. Drop down to an elevated CMD and do a netcfg-d, that's a repair operation. The other thing would be a complete uninstall of that wired adapter and then a reinstall of that wired adapter. If all of that still fails, send me a DXDiag log. That'll give us some information about the wired adapter.
Cool, okay. From Jared, he wrote us a nice email, and he said, when we use a local account at our place of business, we have students that go into websites and find pranks to use on the computers. We had one student who used CMD to cause the web browsers to open different pages or just display a certain page. Due to computers not being on domain, it would help to limit what kind of pranks they can access.
So a couple of things with this one. One, is there any particular reason that it's not on the domain?
Yeah.
You could do that and then apply things like app locker policies and group policies just to lock down the system, which I would just generally recommend doing. If these are machines that are in the public, you need to have some level of control over them, constrain them. And those local users, they should absolutely be standard users and not admins to again, further limit their scope.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually would be, you know, in a long-term approach, much easier just to set them up in a domain and then have stripped down policies. Because again, if it's in the public, basically set it up as kiosk. You could also do something like Windows Industry Edition, which is basically the Enterprise Edition / IoT. It's a fully customizable build where you can lock down the shell, lock down a lot of different things about it when it's special purpose for a kiosk.
Yeah.
And I'd totally recommend following any one of those routes.
Okay.
The last kind of hack would be, you know, ACLing CMD to not be executable by regular users. But again, that there's going to be other ways that they can mess with the system if you don't go in a thoughtful manner of actually locking down the system.
Yeah. I'd like to get more information on the pranks themselves. I need some more pranks. Send me something good. Put something in the comments. Next question. In Windows 10, how do I get a log of hardware that is removed and connected? I get a Windows disconnect about every 3 to 5 seconds. A
couple of ways of doing that. So if you go to CMD, ooh, it's an awful font, Windows INF. Setupapi.dev.log tells you this is the device install log. But another one is under the event viewer. If you go, I'll give you the full path. Under applications and services, Microsoft Windows, kernel PNP, device configuration, this will tell you all of the events. Very similar to what's in the log, mm-hmm. but a little bit easier to read. You can get the timestamp information.
Cool. All right. Next question. So there's a problem with my Windows laptop. It doesn't connect to my 5G network sometimes, or 2.4G. I have to restart the computer to get it to work. NetSH Winsock reset does reset the network adapter, but it requires a restart. Is there a way to reload the network adapter without restarting the computer?
Usually, again, the right-click on the network and choose troubleshoot problems will reset the same way without having to reset the or restart the machine.
Cool.
Although I'm more interested on why you're not able to connect to the wireless networks.
Yeah.
So while that is happening, if you check the troubleshoot problems, it should produce a log and you can send that.
Cool. Next question. I'm looking for a way to set Windows 10 notifications for a specific program to not disappear from above the taskbar unless I specifically dismiss them.
Unfortunately, that one is not possible. The whole notification center is not, that particular user option is not available.
Okay.
So the best that you can do is when that notification disappears, as you probably know, it's going to be in the action center.
Yeah. Next question. I have a user with the Windows 10 machine. They've linked it to their MS account, and they use a PIN to access the machine. We have a few people who share the machine, so other users know what the PIN is. I'm trying to connect using RDP. However, all I can log in with is a username and password. I'd like to use the PIN, as the user does not want to share their MS password for obvious reasons. But they'll share their PIN.
That's just odd, to say the least. For one, stop using a shared account. Actually have separate accounts per user. But beyond that, you're still not going to be able to use the PIN when logging in remotely. The PIN is something that is specifically local to that machine.
Yeah.
Does not allow remote access.
Yeah.
So you'll not get PIN, period.
You have to have physical access to the machine
to use the PIN.
Yeah.
But fundamentally switch from using that single account, especially in a business scenario, for lots of reasons. You lose auditing. You lose figuring out, you know, who did what at what particular time. You have to then worry about, oh, was the last person that logged into something personal? Did they log out correctly? It tends to cause more problems than it solves simply by having your own user account.
Yeah.
And again, you don't technically have to associate with an MSA at all. You can have single purpose user accounts, just local accounts, non-MSA. You won't have store access, but depending on what you're doing, you may not need it.
Yeah. All right. Next question. When I type into Windows Start Menu Search, it omits results that aren't apps or documents. So music, photos, videos are completely ignored. When I use Explorer Search, everything's included, but it's a massive inconvenience. So we both tried this.
Yeah. So I'm under My PC Save Pictures, and if I type Fresh Paint, there's my picture.
Yeah, I had the same thing happen. So haven't been able to recreate it. Need more information.
The only thing I can think of is that your indexer hasn't fully indexed your system yet.
Yeah.
If you just created the file and you're just searching for it, it may not be there yet.
Mm-hmm. All right. In my notebook, I have a Sierra Wireless 4G module and Windows 10 Pro Anniversary Update. I'd like to avoid Windows to download updates while I'm connected through the mobile connection. Even better would be disable downloads only in peak hours and allow them otherwise.
So you can set your integrated modem to metered. There is also an option under Windows Update, under Advanced Options, choose how updates are delivered. There's the Windows Optimized Delivery Service. You can basically turn it on or off, and currently I've got it off.
Mm-hmm.
That will help prevent utilizing the network when it shouldn't be used.
Cool. Next question, Windows 10 Device Manager. For the generic USB hub and USB root hub, there's a new function under Advanced tab called Reset Hub. I want to be able to reset these with each wake up restart. Can you tell me how I can do this function via command line?
You really shouldn't have to, because on each restart, the root hub will
And Wake?
Reset. And Wake. The root hub should reset on Wake.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if you're coming off of hibernation, then the system is turned off. It should re-enumerate everything.
Okay. All right, pick of the week time. Pick of the week. So Gove had a couple of them. The first one was this awesome drone. It's the Typhoon H. It's just around $1,000, so pretty much a mid-level drone. Great camera on it. Full 360 view.
Fantastic camera. Yeah. 4K.
Yeah. There are a couple things I liked about it.
Look at this remote, man.
Yeah. and the remote you can use as a HDMI device, so you can, you know, I don't know, run your Xbox One to it or something when you're not flying your drone. But it has some sensors to keep it from running into things, which I thought was kind of cool. And it also has a lot of the logic that's in some of the newer drones that will allow it to kind of camp around you, orbit you, follow you around. It has a simple remote for controlling it that, you can just walk around with your remote and, you know, one button push it to have it do different functions. They also have an add-on HMD visor that you can use for doing FPV flying, which is kind of nice. My DJI doesn't have one of those, you can just buy it off the shelf. So I kind of like that because I think I would be able to fly it a little bit more comfortably if I could see out the front of the drone. That was pretty cool too.
The thing that really ties it back to Windows and computers in general uses Intel RealSense technology, which is one of the bases of Windows Hello.
Yeah.
Similar technology in there, which cool. I found, again, really interesting. Like, it's a cool toy. It's outside of my price range. But just the how cheap it has become compared to just, 5 years ago, 10 yeah. years ago. Like, this is technology that, regular people can have.
I find
that amazing.
In 2004, I think it was, I built a quadcopter drone to use for, I was teaching journalists how to do like mobile reporting with a drone. Mm-hmm. It was obscenely expensive, and the picture quality that you get off of it from wireless was just so
cell phone
sad.
Camera.
It was worse than that. It was just like a postage stamp size, like I think it was 320 by 240, and so grainy and staticky that it was almost unusable. So we've come a long way, and it's just incredible what they have now.
In such a short period of time, too.
Exactly, just a few years. The other thing, too, is if you love drones and you're interested in these kinds of things, we've got a new show starting on Channel 9 called Drone Garage. And so it's folks around Microsoft who work on drones, both here at Microsoft and in their spare time. And so you'll see all kinds of stuff like this. They talk about coding for them, using 3D printers to make parts for them, building them yourselves. So very cool. Keep an eye out for that. The other link that you had was the DJI Osmo camera. Very cool camera. This here basically uses a camera that's off of a drone, like a DJI Inspire 1. And it puts it on a handle, and so you've got this gimbal where you can control it. You can do selfies. You can, shoot all over the place. It's a 4K picture, so it's really nice. We used one of these. We're doing another new show talking to some different MVPs around the world. So we were in Taiwan a week before last, and I used one of these to shoot a lot of the B-roll. I'll play some of it now. You can see here, this was a shot. I was just holding the Osmo outside the window of the car, and I used the thumbstick on it to kind of pan around as we went under this bridge. And it's the kind of shot where if you're trying to shoot that with any other device, it'd be very difficult. I mean, maybe if you were laying in the back of a pickup bed or something. But the other thing, too, is it's a very stabilized picture, so you get a nice, smooth shot with it. When you take the Osmo and you point it at something, it doesn't just point. It kind of gracefully goes into it like inertial dampening kind of thing. 4K picture, it's a phenomenal little device. I don't think I'd use it as my main camera. They had some issues when it first came out, like it had a fan that would play to cool it down, and that caused some problems with audio. But now the fan turns off when you start recording. So very cool device. I think it was around $350-$400. Like I said, it shoots 4K. Goes through batteries fairly quickly, but I had a bunch of batteries with me, so it wasn't that bad. I love it. I think we're going to use it a lot more for shooting B-roll as a second camera. So that is the show for this week. Thanks for joining us, and I think we will see you next week.
Take care.